As we meet with God, we have the privilege of hearing from Him and His Word. I encourage you this morning to turn in your own Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. If you don't have a Bible with you, or if you'd like to follow along in your program, it's on page 6, and then page 7 has a place to follow along and take notes as we consider verses 4 through 15. And from God's Word this morning, the very familiar story of the sower and the soils, as it's recorded for us in the Gospel of Luke. Let's hear the word of the Lord. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others I speak in parables so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Would you pray with me, please? Father, this morning we want to be those who not only hear your word, but do it. And so we pray today, O God, that you would open our ears. For we all have ears, but we need to hear. We need to hear in a way that only your Spirit can enable us to do, by opening our hearts to receive your word, that it might bring forth fruit. We pray that you would do that today. In Jesus' name, amen. When the Red Sox defied the 86-year-old curse of the Bambino and won their first World Series championship since 1918, the response, the various reactions from those who follow baseball were interesting to watch. Those who hate the Yankees, I hear that. Those who hated the Yankees smirked, I guess you might say, gleeful that it was the boys in pinstripes who were the first team in the history of baseball to blow a 3-0 lead in a 7-game playoff series, especially since they blew it to their arch rivals from Boston. On the other hand, Fox Sports must have been somewhat regretful that the Red Sox went on to set another record by winning 7 playoff games in a row, thereby sweeping the St. Louis Cardinals in just 4 games and siphoning off some of the revenue that they would have received from a longer series. Dejected St. Louis Cardinal fans probably think that the curse of the Red Sox has been passed on to them as they lost another World Series. But diehard Red Sox fans who had been disappointed for decades were euphoric. The response to the same events can produce varied and vastly different responses depending on who hears the news. The same is true with the Word of God and the Gospel. The response to hearing God's Word varies greatly. Some reject it out of hand. Others pretend to listen, but aren't really interested. Others receive the message with joy, but out of those are some who are just having an emotional response to impress those around them that they are really excited about what God has said. While there's no single correct reaction to what transpires in a World Series, Jesus, through this simple story about an ordinary farmer, tells us that there is only one acceptable response to the Word of God. And that's what we're determining today. As we ask the question, what is the only correct response from those who really hear the Word of God? As we examine the answer to that question, we have to analyze the meaning of the story. And the story is very clear as to what it means because Jesus himself interprets it for us and tells us that the different kinds of soils represent different kinds of listeners. But as we go through that list today, the challenge to you is to determine what kind of a person you are, if you're a person who has a heart of hearing or not. So Jesus tells us that many are exposed to God's Word without lasting effects. And we see that in the first three kinds of soil. In verse 11, Jesus makes it clear that he is talking about the effect of the Word of God, about hearing God's Word and how people respond to it. This is the meaning of the parable, he says. The seed is a picture. The seed is the Word of God. That's what it symbolizes. God's Word in this parable and the story that Jesus tells is constant. The same seed is sown everywhere. That which varies is the response, the different soils, which represent different people's hearts. In verse 8, Jesus cries out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus is telling us in those words that there are some who really hear and others that turn a deaf ear. He says in verse 10 that there are some that though hearing, do not understand. What makes the difference? As he cries out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear," he is talking to people who probably all had two ears, one on each side of their head. But only some really heard. What makes the difference? It's the condition of the heart. It's whether their spiritual ears have been opened by God's Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, Paul tells us that the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. But Jesus says in verse 10, as he speaks to the disciples, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. Your ears have been opened. These things need not be foolishness to you. You may understand them. The secrets were given to some, but not to all." Many who followed Jesus were pretenders, were religious people, but people who were being religious simply for show, to improve their standing in the community, to be looked up to by those around them. And certainly, that could be the motivation of many churchgoers today. Why do some hear? Because the Holy Spirit enables them. He gives them a new heart. He changes the soil of their heart so that they are able to receive the Word and respond to it. Jesus told this to one religious leader named Nicodemus in John chapter 3 when he said, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit." You must be born physically and spiritually, he says. It's not enough just to have physical ears. You need to have spiritual ears. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. Jesus is saying you have to be born again. You have to have the Spirit working in your heart, giving you a new heart, new soil that can receive the Word of God and respond to it. In Ephesians 2, 4 and 5, Paul is told these believers that before they came to Christ that they were dead in their transgressions and sins. But then he goes on to say, "But because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." It is God's gracious work in the hearts of people like us that changed the hardened soil of hearts that would repel the Word to soil that can receive it. When our oldest son David was young. I don't remember how old, 3 or 4 or 5, something like that. We noticed that despite our perfect parenting skills, that there was a decline in his obedience. I say perfect parenting skills, so you'll come to the class on shepherding a child's heart. But we noticed there was a decline in his obedience. And as we observed more closely, we noticed that he seemed to ignore us if we didn't make eye contact with him when we were telling him what to do. If he was in the other room or if he was not facing us, we could tell him what to do. We could even yell at him oftentimes, and he would never respond. And we said, what a strong-willed first child this is that we have. Well, then one morning, Aim went to get him up and noticed that there was some blood on his pillowcase. And taking him to the doctor, we realized that he had an ear infection that had been raging that he hadn't been complaining about, and it resulted in his eardrum bursting. And so we went through a bunch of procedures, eventually had tubes in his ears to drain the fluid off so that his eardrum could actually work. And all of a sudden, he became a much more obedient child. Now, he would obey us when he was looking at us because he could read our lips. But when he wasn't looking at us, he didn't hear half of what we said. He didn't have ears to hear. Something had to be done so that he could receive his hearing back, so that he could respond to the word. The same is true with us. And today, as you sit there, we need to check our spiritual hearing, to analyze our response to God's word, and realize that the variety of soils that Jesus is talking about here means that there are a variety of responses we can have in our hearts. And we needed to determine which we are. First kind of heart. Jesus says that some reject God's word immediately. The picture is in verse 5. A farmer went out to sow a seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, the hard, beaten down dirt of the path that went through the field. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. And Jesus gives us the meaning in verse 12. Those along the path are the ones who hear. But because their hearts are hard like the soil beaten down in the path, they reject the word of God. And as they reject the word of God, the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they do not believe and be saved. In Matthew 13, where Matthew is recording this same parable, he gives the same idea and quotes the words of the Savior in a little bit different way. He says, "This is why I speak to them in parables." And then goes on with the quote that we see in verse 10, "Though seeing, they may not hear." This is why I speak to them in parables. Jesus is saying, I speak to them in parables because they harden their hearts. Here he says, "To others I speak in parables so that, though seeing, they may not see." You see, what Jesus is saying is when people harden their hearts, they're not going to receive the word of God. And so I speak to them in parables so that they won't understand, because they don't want to understand. When we harden our hearts to God, God responds by hardening our hearts further. Paul talks about this in Romans 1:28 when he says, "Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done." Because they refused to acknowledge God, he handed them over to further hardness of heart, Paul says. If you harden your heart, God will harden it further. There is a danger in hardening our heart. And Jesus warns us that this is one of Satan's strategies. As we talked about the spiritual battle last week, here is another one of Satan's strategies against us, to get us to harden our heart and not even receive the word of God in the first place, so that it's easily snatched away like seed from the road. And all he has to do is encourage us to harden our hearts. And his voice sounds something like this. "This is stupid. Why do I have to sit here and listen? I wish I weren't here. I'd rather be off." And then the next thing you know, you come back from a 10-minute daydream. "It's too long. It's boring. I can't understand it." Some of you parents may have heard comments like that. I don't know. I'm just kind of making them up out of the air. If you think that way, perhaps you should ask the Holy Spirit to change the soil of your heart. that he would not allow your heart to be hardened. And then respond by concentrating on receiving God's word whenever you hear it. Some reject God's word immediately. Others receive God's word temporarily. The picture's in verse 6. As he's scattering the seed, some fell on rock. It came up, but the plants withered because they had no moisture. In other places where it's recorded that it had no root, so it could not get any moisture that was there because the dirt was so shallow it couldn't receive the nourishment that it needed. It sprang up quickly, Matthew 13 tells us, but verse 6 tells us here that it withered. And who are these people? Jesus tells us in verse 13, those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it. They're excited about it. They're smiling. They're slapping the pastor on the back and telling, what a great sermon that was. But they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. When it gets too hard to follow through on the word of God, they decide to give up. And doing so showed that their response that was so joyful, so emotional, was not genuine at all. Instead, it says they fall away. Not that they believed and lost their salvation, but as John says in 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. They looked like they believed, but by failing to follow through, they showed that they did not. They were convicted on Sunday, but there was no follow through. By Monday, they had forgotten what they had committed to do, or perhaps by halftime of the first game of the doubleheader. They made a commitment, but they couldn't find time to fulfill it. They decided it was just too hard, that it wasn't worth it. If you find yourself doing that over and over again, then you need to ask the Holy Spirit to change the soil of your heart, to give you the desire to follow through on the word and bring forth fruit. And then find ways to remind yourselves of what you've committed in your heart to do. Finally, some respond to God's word temporarily. The picture's in verse 7. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. The meaning in verse 14, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. Their commitment is undermined by other priorities. Worries, concerns about this life that eat away at their time with God. Riches, the pursuit of more money, of the things that money can buy, of that elusive goal that's unattainable of financial security. Pleasures, which either may be things that are wrong inherently, sexual immorality, drunkenness, addictions of many kinds, or pleasures that may simply be wrong because we overindulge in them, leisure activities, sports, recreation, entertainment. Things that get us so busy that there's no time left for God and His Word. So that the first thing that to be pushed aside when there's a conflict in our schedule is our time with God or our worship at church. I know I ought to, we say. I'll get to it tomorrow. It's just this once. And before we know it, what really counts is being choked out by the weeds of life. If you find yourself in that place, ask the Holy Spirit to change your heart to hunger and thirst for what really counts. Think about the action step at the bottom of page 7. To make an increased effort to read the Bible, there's 40 days between now and the end of the year. Now, first of all, let me tell you that there's nothing magical about reading the Bible every day. You should read the Bible because you've asked the Holy Spirit for a hunger for His Word and you have a hunger for His Word. Sometimes that takes discipline, and that's a great discipline. But all I'm asking you to do is between you and God, saying, God, help me to read the Bible this many days and the rest of the year for this amount of time. Exposing yourself to the Word of God, listening to it, hearing it, inviting it into your heart so that it can bear fruit. Making that kind of a commitment that you want to be one who hears the Word of God, that you want to avoid receiving it conditionally or temporarily, that you want to be a heart that is fruitful. And what does that look like? What does it look like if our heart is fertile soil? Well, Jesus tells us that those who embrace God's Word will live effectively. Now, please do not hear me saying we'll live perfectly. But we will live effectively. That is, God will work in our lives and produce fruit. In verse 15, he talks about the good soil. It stands for those with a noble and good heart, a heart that has been changed by the Holy Spirit to be receptive to His Word. And we know that the soil is good, Jesus says, because it produces a crop. He doesn't say that it's weed-free. He doesn't say that there's no work involved. In fact, He tells us that there is. But He says good soil is known by the fact that it brings forth a crop. It produces fruit. But let's look at the things that we have to do to produce that fruit in our lives. First of all, fruitful living requires listening to God's Word. That gets us back to the action step. We have to be having the seed sown in the soil before it can bear fruit. Jesus says those with a noble and good heart who are willing to give an honest chance to the Word of God to work in their lives, that they are those who hear the Word. The Bereans in Acts 17, we're told, were of noble character, more noble than the Thessalonians, we're told, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul had said was true. It's an eager reception. That's what a noble and good heart does. It eagerly receives the Word of God and reads the Bible because they believe that's what it is, God's Word speaking to them, revealing truth to their heart. Feed your souls. Read God's Word out of a hunger that you have prayed that the Holy Spirit will give you. A hunger to know God. Second, fruitful living requires lingering over God's Word. Retaining it. Lingering over it like slowly sipping that morning cup of coffee. Holding on to it. Retaining it, unlike the seed that was snatched from the hard roadway. We are hanging on to the Word of God, clinging to it, so that the devil cannot snatch it away from our hearts. How do you do that? Well, you do that by taking your time rather than rushing through it in the last 3 minutes before you run out the door. You do it by thinking about the words that God has chosen to use. Thinking about their significance and why God chose those words and not others. By reading a passage not once, but going over it two or three times, rereading it slowly to let it sink in. Pray through it as you are reading the Word of God. Pray, like in this passage, be praying that you wouldn't have a heart that is distracted by worries. Then pray about what your worries are. That you wouldn't be distracted by riches or have God's Word choked out by the pressures of the day. That God would help you to remember it. Just pray through those things as you linger over His Word. Perhaps even read the same verses several days in a row when you find a portion of God's Word that's really speaking to you. You know, again, there is no prize for getting through the Bible in a year. There's no prize for reading a chapter a day. If God is speaking to you through a couple of verses, then stay there. Think about them. Memorize them if that's easy for you. If you can't memorize, just get the concepts into your mind. And think about them throughout the day, lingering over God's Word, retaining it, holding on to it, not letting Satan snatch it away. But that requires work. That's what Jesus says last. Fruitful living requires laboring through God's Word. Hear the Word, retain it, and by persevering, by keeping after it, by not giving up. Most of us want our spiritual growth to take place like Jack and the Beanstalk rather than a farmer. We want the magic seed that falls, just one, that falls into our heart, and all of a sudden there's this dynamic spiritual growth and we could be done with it. Just by one magic little seed. But that's not the picture that Jesus is painting. He's painting the ordinary farmer. He goes out and sows. And then he waters or he prays for rain. And then he cultivates it and removes the weeds. And then he harvests it. And then what does he do? He starts all over again and he plants the seed and he waters and he cultivates and he goes over and over again. It's the same thing Jesus is saying we need to do. Take in the Word of God. Read it. Hear it. Pray it into your life. Think about it. Meditate on it. And then apply it. And then when you're through, what do? You do it over again. You read. You pray. You think. You apply. You persevere. You don't give up in the dry times, but instead in those dry times, you beg God by His Holy Spirit to soften your heart, to soften that soil so that it's receptive, that He would renew the hunger in your soul. And you continue to read, asking that God would do that. You cultivate your heart, trying to plow it up and break it up and break up the hardness in your heart by worshiping God, by coming and receiving the sacraments, by serving the Lord Jesus as He served you, by thinking of all the things that are in your life to be thankful for. You break up the hard soil of your heart. And Jesus promises by persevering, you will produce a crop if you have a heart of hearing. And that's the only correct response from those who really hear God's Word. It's written for you at the bottom of the outline. If God graciously enables us to hear and understand His Word, because He has worked in our hearts by the Holy Spirit and given us ears to hear, then the only acceptable response is to hungrily embrace it and vigorously apply it as a priority in daily living. God has given us His Word. Let's be fruitful as we hear it.